What I'm going to talk about is something that's very basic, but it's something that has been under attack, especially as of late, and even it's something that is beginning. It's this mindset that's starting to set into even many churches. There's many churches now that they won't even have a cross because some people find it offensive. Okay. But folks, how many know that we have to be very careful that we don't ever compromise Amen. The will and the word of God, right? For pleasing people. What I want to talk about tonight is the blood of Jesus. I want to talk about something that is going to be maybe basic to many of us here, but it is something that we really need to understand the depths of this. And I pray that the Lord will at least take us to some degree of understanding about it, because it's a subject that we could preach for years on. It's so deep. And I really sincerely mean that. I mean, it's really what it's all about. What we're here for is the message of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And there is no way to the Father except by the blood of the covenant, through the blood of Jesus. And yet, there are many that won't even preach about the blood today because they are afraid they're going to offend people and they won't come to their church. But we're going to continue to preach the word of the Lord. And as long as we are able, as long as I have life and breath, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to be going down to Florida in Bermuda shorts, which is a scary thought anyways for me, but to go down to Florida and play golf and be a connoisseur of restaurants and waste my life on vain living. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
We have an assignment on the earth. And while we have opportunity, let us do good unto all. Let us serve. And everything that we do, in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. Amen. And so I want to talk about the blood, and I want you to start out. We're going to start out with Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 10. Now, there's things that obviously that we'll run into in the word that we may not have a revelation on. Sometimes you may never get the revelation. Other times it may be later on in your experience that God will reveal to you the meaning of something. We cannot understand what truth is except by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And so the Holy Spirit will take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. And so when we pray, when we study the Word of God, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to help us to understand it. And just because you don't understand everything, it's okay. Don't be too hard on yourself. When God feels it's appropriate for you to understand, He'll open it up to you. Amen. We cannot even recognize Jesus except that He reveals Himself to us. And so we're all at some different place in our walk here, but one of the main things we need to understand is that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That means there's no way to cancel the debt that we owe God due to the fact that we have broken His laws. We've broken the rules with God. So verse 10 says, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement. Another way of saying atonement is to be at one with, but it really means a covering for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I say to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. Now, we need to remember that things that happened in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, were types and shadows of what was to come, of what Christ would fulfill for us in due season. And so we want to learn a little bit about the blood, the meaning of the blood, the purpose of it, and why they were not to eat it. There's many different thoughts about that, but folks, I believe that here we're seeing something that's very profound, that they were not to eat it, but they were to be poured out where? Into the dust. Listen, for it is the life of all flesh. What is the life of all flesh? The blood. Scientists know that. They have discovered, amen, that it's not the heart or the brain or some organ, but it's literally there's life in the blood, amen? Yes. And so there's a mingling of your spirit that keeps you alive with your blood. And so he says its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Now, interesting, Jesus said in John 6 and 53, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. In other words, what has to happen is it has to be internalized. His blood, his life has to be internalized. In the Old Testament, it was external. It was earthly. But in the New Testament, it is spiritual. What we saw in type, we saw in fulfillment when Christ came. He said, I am the bread of life. Under the old covenant, remember God rained manna down, and that was speaking of what? Of Christ, who would be the one who feeds us, who sustains us. Jesus said, I am the living waters, right? So in the old covenant, what was happening? God was causing water to come from the rock. Jesus Christ is that rock. Amen? And he said, to them that believe on me, as the scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. So in type, we saw the water that God provided, which is a type of Christ. And yet Jesus said that I am the life. Amen? Amen. So we eat and we drink of him. Jesus said it this way. How do we internalize Christ? Well, he said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. We hear the message, and when it's mixed with faith, it produces life in us. That's what's happening. Some people hear the message, but they don't believe it. It's not mixed with faith. And so whatever they receive, the enemy will come and snatch it away, usually right away. But it has to be received on good soil. Good soil is a heart that is conditioned to receive. You can't plant seed on a hard path. It has to be conditioned to receive the seed. We are conditioned to receive God's revelation. We are conditioned to receive God's grace by having our hearts conditioned to receive. How do we get conditioned? By repentance. By aligning ourselves with his will. By agreeing with the Spirit of God. We are opening the way for the life of God to come. Amen? We have to agree with what God says so that we can open the way for his life to come to us. It has to be internalized. There are many people who hear the word. There are many people who can quote scripture, and yet they've never internalized it. Are you with me? Yeah. But when it is internalized, it begins to change and transform and produce fruit in our lives. It won't be internalized until we repent and get into alignment with God. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, I don't want to get too far in that direction, but we know in the very beginning that it says that we were created in God's image. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. We see the Godhead there. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Who's that? That's mankind. That's you and I. God gave us that dominion in the very beginning. And so we read in chapter 3 of Genesis that Adam and Eve then sinned. And in chapter 4, the first recorded murder, Cain slew Abel, his brother, remember? How many know that to murder is to strike out at God? To murder is to strike out at God. Why? Because man was made in his image. And folks, I don't want to get too far off this, and I'm not saying this to hopefully not to open up some old wounds here. But you know, I was listening to something the other day, and a young man had a revelation about abortion. And in this, he began to say, the Lord showed this to him, that to abort a child in its mother's womb is to enter in, if you will, to the temple of God and create and cause murder. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mankind was designed to house God. We are made for Him. To be containers. And so abortion violates that. It goes into the temple itself and causes murder. Now, thank God that there's forgiveness for that. And there's healing for that. And God does not want anyone to carry that around anymore, any guilt or shame connected to that. If you confess your sins and you allow God, He will heal. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. But that's why we cannot accept the message of the world, because the message of the world comes from Satan, who is trying to constantly destroy what God says is good. And so he is trying to pervert God's ways. He understands also the importance of blood and that the life is in the blood. That's why when God says, don't eat blood, the devil tells people, drink blood, eat blood. And without going too far down that path, people who are in the occult, especially people that are deep into, understand that there is a certain power that they derive from drinking someone's blood, even drinking the blood of animals. They say that the actual life for that person is absorbed into them and it makes them more powerful. Why do you think vampirism is just where it's at today? Who would ever thought that now it's a trend among young people? Because Satan wants to pervert what God has made is good. And when they were to pour out the blood, it was to be poured out into the dust. Why? Because all life belongs to God. It is not for us to take anyone's life. Are you with me? In any shape or form. We are not to control another person. Do you know God does not control us? No. God says, let's agree. Let's walk together. But He doesn't control us, folks. He gave us freedom of choice. A free will. Okay, moving along here. The first murder, Cain, right? Slew Abel. And what happened? In Genesis 4 and verse 8, Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? How many know what the answer to that is? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. You see, the life is in the blood. The life of Abel was poured out. And it spoke, it cried out from the ground. The first murder. Blood guiltiness requires blood atonement. All of us are guilty of the blood of Christ. It was because of our sin that Jesus had to go to the cross. Are you with me? Yeah. Hebrews 9:22, it says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no way to be cleansed. There's no way to be right with God except that there be shedding of blood. Now, under the old covenant, we see in type what Christ fulfilled on the cross. He became, as John said, the Lamb of God. Amen? Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God. John saw, you know, Jesus coming. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, Some of you this is very rehearsed and we know this, but folks, let me just say that this very principle, this very central truth to what we believe is being attacked in great ways today. And in the church even, they've gone away from the central message. This is what we are to preach, folks. We are to preach the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and through Him only can one be saved. You cannot any other way get to the Father except through the blood of the covenant that the Father approves of. And the reason why He approves of it is because Jesus Christ was without sin. Sin could not pay for sin. And so under the old covenant, the lamb had to be spotless. It could not have any blemish. Jesus Himself was spotless. He was in every way tempted like we are, yet without sin. Where if the first Adam had failed, Jesus had fulfilled. Aren't you glad that Jesus made it for us? Amen? Aren't you glad that we don't have to live under the bondage of the old system, but now we can walk in this new life that Jesus made available to us? Now, why is it only through the blood of Jesus that we can be cleansed? Well, just take a look. Hopefully you can take notes for this if you want to look at it later. Because you and I, folks, are going to be challenged in some of these very points here, okay? So I want us to think about these things. John chapter 8, verse 57. Then the Jews said to Jesus, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, in John chapter 8, verse 58, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was," what? I am. And when he said, "I am," they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, why did they take up stones to stone him, do you think, when he said that? Absolutely. Jesus himself claimed to be God. And that's why they picked up stones, because it was blasphemy for any man to say that he was God. And yet they didn't recognize that indeed it was God in front of them, in the Son. Exodus 3 and 13 says this, when Moses inquired of the Lord, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'Well, what is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Then God said to Moses, "I am who I am." That's Exodus 3 and verse 14. And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Are you seeing this? Do you understand why it had to be God himself becoming a man? There is no other way. It is not by works that we are saved, folks. John 10 and verse 30, "I and my Father are one." John 10 and 31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Why? Because they're saying, "Hey, you're a man and you're making yourself to be God here." Now, Jesus is the Son of God. He is not an angel. Amen. He is not an angel. Hebrews 1, verse 5 and 6, "For to which of the angels did he ever say," the Father, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." God, the Word, who was with the Father in the beginning, the Word became flesh. He became a man. God, the Son, became the Son of Man. Are you with me? He became the Son of God, but he became the Son of Man as well. Just like you and I, he had to become like us in order to redeem us from the situation that we found ourselves in. Why? Because in the beginning, God gave mankind the dominion on the earth. And when we failed and we disobeyed God, we had lost our authority to Satan. And he became the little g, the little god of this world. But God, in his infinite wisdom, had the plan already settled. Amen. He knew that it was going to happen before it happened. And it says, behold, in Revelation, the Lamb of God slain before, from the foundation of the world, God in his infinite knowledge and understanding had already had a plan in place. That he, the Word, God the Word, would become a man. Amen. That's what Christmas is about, is it not? The incarnation. Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. But verse 6 it says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Notice it says firstborn. Let all the angels of God worship him. Come on, folks, he's not an angel. There's false teaching. There's people that say Jesus was an angel. As the only begotten Son, Jesus is equal to the Father. Now, we're going to allow the Word of God to be our authority, amen? Not my opinion, but what God says, I'm going to believe. Because to me, it makes sense. It all makes sense if you understand the blood, if you understand the sinless Lamb of God, if you understand the virgin birth. Why a virgin birth? As the only begotten Son, Jesus is equal to the Father. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There are those who teach that Jesus was a man who became God. Now on the surface they don't say that. But as they draw you deeper into their cult, they begin to switch up and they begin to tell you that, well, this is really what happened. And of course, we know that is a perversion. That is not what the Bible teaches. And they teach only certain things from the Bible. So yes, they will use scriptures, and that's how they dupe people, because they use scriptures. But they don't rightly divide the word, and so they take a portion here and a portion there, and they make it say whatever they want. And if folks, you and I are not studying this word ourselves, how are we going to know? Now, thank God we have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit wants us to do something. That's put the Word on the hard drive so that when, amen, the time comes, He will bring it to your remembrance. Philippians chapter 2, here it is again in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to be like Jesus on the earth. Are you with me? In verse 6, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant in the incarnation again, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found, listen, in appearance as a man. Now the Holy Spirit put that in there for a reason. Being found in appearance as a man. But in context we see who being, what? In the form of God. And then being found on the earth in the appearance as a man, of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Colossians 1 and 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This talking about Jesus, the Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn. And he again, John 3:16, his only begotten Son. For by him all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth. You mean Jesus? Yes. The Godhead were all involved in the creation, folks. For by him all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is not even closely, okay, on the same level of an angel, folks. We're talking about the Creator and the creation now. Angels are created. They are ministering spirits. And they are also given unto us, the church, amen, to help us, to minister to us, those who are heirs of salvation. And it says in verse 17, listen, speaking of Christ, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Listen, if you run into anybody that's trying to say that Jesus is not God, Remember just these two passages, Hebrews 1 and Colossians 1. It's very clear. And if they don't want to receive the authority of the Scriptures, folks, be done with it, all right? After the first and second admonition, you know, if somebody chooses to be a heretic, if they choose to refuse the obvious truth, folks, there's nothing you're going to be able to do. I don't care how well we explain it, unless the Lord opens their eyes, they're not going to get it. Amen? Yeah. So, don't waste a lot of time. If a person is open and receptive to hear truth, then give truth, okay, to the degree that they're receiving. And when you start to see them kind of back off a little bit, it's time to say, okay, Holy Spirit, it's up to you. Let it go. Let the Lord do the work. You planted some seed. You got some seed in there. Amen? You try to oversaturate somebody, or if they're not receiving, you actually can turn them away. So we need to ask God to give us wisdom when we're witnessing, to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Because the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish. He wants people to come to a saving knowledge. But we have to really be careful how we speak to people. So he, verse 18, is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, who, Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. How do we have peace? How do we have life? How are we redeemed? How are we brought back into right relationship? It's through the blood of Jesus. God was, amen, the Holy Spirit overshadowed a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14 it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. What is the sign? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is not a natural conception. Why? Because the Lord's very clear. The Holy Spirit put that in there. He's going to give you a sign that this is the Christ. This is the awaited Messiah. Will be born of a woman who has never been intimate with a man. Why? That's right. Because the blood would be corrupted through the line of Adam. Because you can link the blood of the father to the child. And so what happened? God says that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. In Matthew 1:23, he says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born will be called what? The Son of God. And we talked about the fact that it wasn't enough, folks, just to have a supernatural conception. Jesus also had to live a pure life. He had to completely obey the Father in all things. And complete all the requirements of the law. No one has ever been able to do that except one. Jesus overcame the world. And because he was without sin, he was qualified now to be an offering for my sin, for your sin. Isn't this just amazing how God had put this whole plan together? And this is what's being attacked right now, folks. As they're trying to take the cross out of the equation. They're trying to take the blood out. Why? So that everything can kind of blend together around just being nice and holding hands and skipping and singing a song. And we are the world. We are the children, you know, the people. And we're going to get along. And there's going to be world peace. There is no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked. And the only way for the wicked to be made right is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And no one will come to the Father except through the only way that he has provided, and it is through the Son. And so the blood of Jesus cries out for mercy. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest, speaking of the Lord, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the reason why we know he was without sin is because according to the prophet, he would see no corruption. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah. After 3 days, he came up out of that grave, not as a spirit, but as, hallelujah, glorified man. He came with a glorified body. Hallelujah. What had been lost had now been restored through Jesus. And now you and I, hallelujah, by the blood can come in to the most holy place of the Father. Hallelujah. We can become the sons of God through faith in Christ. And then after his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And of course, we all know about doubting Thomas. And Thomas had said, unless I can put my hand, you know, in his side and his hands, I won't believe. And you know what? Jesus just showed up and said, okay, Thomas, here I am. Do you know, they say it was a Sunday night. It was a Sunday night when Jesus appeared to his disciples the first time. And Thomas wasn't there the first time. So don't miss any more Sunday night services. You never know. Jesus could show up. And he is showing up, by the way. He's here with us in his spirit. And if you knew Jesus was coming on a Sunday night, I think he'd be here, right? There's no manipulation in that, is there? Well, you know, the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? But the Lord doesn't want us to live in guilt either. He wants us to listen to his voice. What does the Lord say about it? Do we acknowledge him? Are we willing to ask the Lord about that? Well, I'd rather go golfing on Sunday. Well, I don't golf, but maybe you do. You know, well, did you ask the Lord if that was okay? Of course not. Well, I'm closer to God when I'm out on the boat, you know. Or I'm in the woods. Did you ask the Lord about that? Whatever we do, folks, are we not to acknowledge the Lord in our decisions and the things that we do? And certainly whatever's not of faith is sin. So if you're condemning yourself in the thing that you're allowing, if your heart's telling on you, say, you shouldn't be doing this, guess what? To you, it's sin. So you better listen to that still small voice, because he's the voice of reason, is the Holy Spirit. He's the voice of truth. Aren't you glad? And after that, he was seen of people for 40 days. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus actually was walking around on the earth after his resurrection in his glorified body, who he's able to transcend through matter, and for 40 days, folks. There are other records, Josephus, others, that were the reporters of that day. Folks, this is a reality, amen? There are those who want to say, well, they stole the body away. They're, you know, he didn't really rise again. It was just a setup. And death couldn't hold him in the ground, in the grave. In Hebrews 9 and 12, it says, not with the blood of goats and calves. That speaks of the Old Testament, the earthly covenant. But with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews 12:24 is talking about the church here, the redeemed. This is, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. There is only one mediator. There's only one way, one truth, one life. It's through Christ, through the Lord himself. He is the mediator between God and man of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? You see, the Lord has made atonement already for our sins. This is the message of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's not by power, nor might, nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's the work of God that He accomplished in our redemption. And it's our faith in what He has done for us that justifies us. It's by believing the report that God has given of His Son that brings justification to our lives. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe on the third day He rose again. I put my faith and my trust in the finished work of the cross. I died with Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. I was buried with Jesus. And on the third day, hallelujah, I rose with Jesus too to walk in a new life. I'm no longer believing in myself, trusting in myself. I'm trusting only in God. He's the only one that can justify me. He's the only one that can save. And so we got to be careful that we don't believe the lie, amen, today, that there are many roads that lead to life. There is only one way, and we've explained it tonight. And it's by, and I say we, but it's the Holy Spirit, amen, and me working together. And the Word of God, amen, it does not lie. How many of you here tonight are able to give a defense of what you believe? Yeah. We need to get prepared, amen, if not. We need to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us of the hope that's within us. And so the Lord, He will ask us, He will plead with us to study to show ourselves approved. Get into the Word, amen. Start to listen for His voice. God wants to speak to us. He wants to teach us. And the main thing, folks, you may not have a great theological background. What you need to know is the message of the cross. That is the most important thing. If you can learn all about the gifts of the Spirit and all the manifestations and all the woos and the wows and the things that happen that we love to see God show up. Are you with me? But it's not all about that. It's about the entrance point. If you don't get to the cross, the rest of that's not going to matter. If people don't understand that they are sinners and they're lost, it doesn't matter how many goosebumps they get in church. We've got to be born again. And you're born again by the Word of God. As you listen and the Spirit breathes upon it and it produces faith in the heart. And we're born of the Spirit of God. Spirit of life. And we're heirs with Jesus. And so the life of Jesus is in us. What does God do? He imparts His life into us. Do you see there are three that bear witness on the earth? The Word. You hear the Word. Amen? The blood and the water. They all agree in one. You've got to come through the only way that God has made possible. Do you see why we believe, we trust, we put our faith in what God says? And the blood, amen, avails for us. It works effectually in us to cleanse. And then we follow the Lord in the witness of water on the earth as well, in water baptism. It's important. Jesus said to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you are making a confession, a declaration publicly of something that's taken place internally in salvation. But there's also a witness of heaven. There's the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And men agree in heaven, so the water, the blood, and the Word agree on the earth. Huh. What is God's plan? That heaven would come to earth, folks. That there would be a union of heaven and earth. Of the natural being swallowed up by the supernatural. By the corruptible being what? Swallowed by the incorruptible. By the mortal being what? Enveloped by immortality. God is going to restore all things. Hallelujah. And it begins with you and me. Hallelujah. We are His people, His bride. And then He's preparing everything, hallelujah, to fulfill His eternal plan. We don't have time to go any further tonight with this, but how many have received something tonight? Did you enjoy it anyways? Hallelujah. It's a good reminder, right? And I just feel the importance, because I know that God also is bringing people in that need to hear this message especially. I need to hear it. I need to be reminded. Otherwise, we will can very easily get distracted, amen, away from the message of the cross. And we can run after this and run after that. And you know what? We are never to run after the things of God. We are to run after God Himself. I wanted that to settle in first.